we really have to work with companies that have a product that's out there, has a little bit of traction, because if we're going to test and pilot it, really get our hands around the technology to see what value could it bring to our organization, we're looking through that lens of, does it unlock new revenue? Does it help us with operational efficiencies or cost savings? So the product's got to be, can't be early idea stage. It's got to be out there so that we can test and pilot it. We're constantly working with all of our sports partners to understand what are the innovation needs and the gaps and the priorities.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We're leading up to our next global sports tech ecosystem report. It is April. It is springtime, so yeah, it's time for another report. The 2024 edition will be the sixth edition, I want to say, of our ecosystem report. So we've been doing this for a while, and the idea is to showcase all the latest innovation initiatives, the investors, the funds, everybody that is supporting the sports tech ecosystem's growth, which is what the startups need, of course. And all of this month, we're going to be talking to heads of various innovation initiatives or investing or VC funds that are in this ecosystem. And one such that I'm very happy to have on our show today is Jenna Kurath, who is the Vice President of Startup Partnerships and head of the Comcast MBCU Sports Tech Accelerator. Welcome to the show, Jenna.
Thank you very much. And impressive you got through that long title. I like to say it's directly proportional to how fortunate I am to do the work that I get to do with founders.
That's very kind of you. And I think your employers would very much appreciate it. Which is, by the way, and Jenna, before we get to the actual program, I want to talk, always want to get to know the person that I'm speaking with a bit more. And I speak of employers appreciating it because you've been at Comcast a while.
Yes, I just recently came up on my 11-year anniversary.
Wow. And congratulations.
It's volumes, honestly, to the company being, founded by an entrepreneur and Ralph Roberts, handed the baton to his son. And it has always been an effort to keep that entrepreneurial spirit alive and well within the company. So accelerator programs, our Comcast Ventures program, it's really, we think of those as that front door to make sure that we're bringing founders in, those entrepreneurs that are on the cutting edge of new things and pushing us a little bit past the status quo, if you will.
And that is, and that's an initiative, or that's a cause that we have to get behind, because that's what we do. We're all about the startup ecosystem, supporting founders with what they need specific to sports. So as we've established, you've been at Comcast for a while. Can you walk me through, and I know you came from sort of a PR background, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
and
correct.
So
yeah.
Walk me through a little bit of how you got into sports and then lead us out into the actual accelerator program, please.
Yeah, well, it's really only been since 2017 that I've been able to really live at this intersection of sports and technology. Prior to that, I ran track and cross country for Baylor University. So an amazing opportunity. I was there when Michael Johnson was still training with Coach Hart. Just before he ended up winning the gold medal in the 400 in the golden shoes. So sports has always been a part of guiding me as a person to kind of push myself beyond the status quo. And then I went into high tech. So I was more in the corporate communications, crisis PR, which was very exciting. You're in the room for big decisions. You get to sit around the table with senior leaders that are guiding and building companies. And then I kind of took that and moved into more business development and sales as I pitched it to my manager at the time who hired me. I said, I hear no more often than I hear yes from media. So carrying quota will be the same as, inches in a column in an article. So, but really cut my teeth within semiconductors and media and communications was later on in my career. So in the last 11 years, it's been all partnership and business development for Comcast in different parts of the organization. But if you look at sports in particular, our connection to sports runs so deep. Live only happens once. It is truly what brings us together. And, you know, even if you just look at the fact that we get to tell the story of our Team USA athletes through 2032, that is just a technology playground for us to really make sure we have the most immersive experiences, products, platforms to bring those amazing sports moments to people.
And that's such a powerful thing to even try to do, because let's put it this way. First of all, just to address the fact that I saw that you're a runner, it's like one of those things, it's like an adjective, like a dog lover. You just inherently like the person. I'm a runner, so you have to love runners as well. Very much appreciate that. But specific to the program, the idea of supporting entrepreneurs within sports, NBC, Comcast, or Universal, I think they had a history of the Olympics, right? So I think the Olympics were always on the channel. And is that where the origin story of the program came from? Because I'm curious about why a broadcaster decided to pick an innovation line in sports, especially when they did this. This is just pre-COVID, if I'm not mistaken, as well, right? 2019, 2020. Correct. Because at the time, it wasn't so common, right? Now we've seen a lot more, whether it's DAZN or Sky or various others do this, but go to 4 or 5 years ago, it wasn't so common. So what was the line of thinking that, hey, what was the trigger or the catalyst that said, hey, we should launch an accelerator program for sports?
It was really an aha moment in a meeting with the U.S. Olympic Committee. They brought together many of the big sponsors. It was a partner meeting, and they shared candidly that there were other countries that would run circles around them in terms of true innovation to help those athletes on the path to the podium. They shared 6 to 8 investment areas. It was everything from drones and intelligent video to data analytics. And if you looked at those 8 categories, we had very deep subject matter expertise in at least 6 of those categories. Mm-hmm. So I was one of those people that raised my hand and said, how can we help? And so Comcast, along with a few other companies, were invited to Colorado Springs to pitch our ideas. And one of them was, hey, let us stand up an innovation engine that runs before, during, and after the Olympics. If you look at any of those NGBs, like a U.S. Ski and Snowboard or swimming, or USA Cycling, they don't have really deep resources, but want to do everything that they can for those Team USA athletes as they're developing them through the pipeline and beyond. And so this was really an opportunity for us to innovate where we had already invested substantially in the media rights for Team USA. And then as we were going through and really understanding, like, well, what are the problems we're solving? You know, talking to a ski and snowboard, what is it that a Michaela Schifrin needs to be able to really, stay and get to that that gold medal stand? And that process was really enlightening for us because we realized we were actually kind of playing too small if we just played within the Olympics ecosystem. And I should say, you know, just looking at us as a company, you've got, you know, Comcast, NBC Sports, you've got Sky Sports. That's already an innovation playground to work alongside decision makers. But to be able to bring in other sports partners, that gives you diversity in the types of sports, different organizations, some of the biggest sports brands in the world. And we all have one shared goal, which is that fan experience. And so it just became really obvious that this needed to build off of all of our media rights and all of our sponsorship investments. So NASCAR was an obvious choice to bring in. Comcast Business powers about 13 of the tracks. We broadcast the back half of the season. We have a 10-year title sponsorship. I think we actually extended it, so we're in a year 11 for our Xfinity. So we have the Xfinity Cup Series. And talk about just a really innovative sports organization that's willing to disrupt themselves. And it's really part of their shared ethos with us. PGA Tour, obviously, you're not going to have the Golf Channel and not have a very deep relationship there. We own the largest tee time booking system. So we already support about 11,000 golf course properties because we know we want you out there playing and watching and really embracing that lifestyle of sports. and golf in general. WWE has been very critical for our Peacock streaming service. We were able to bring in Premier League as well last year. And again, it's just, you look at our experience, whether you're on X1 and you pick up the voice remote and you can drop right into an Olympic sport or moment that's happening during those 17 days to what we're able to do with Peacock, streaming the very first ever wild card game and setting internet history in the process. So it just goes to show that sports and live in particular is so core to our business. It's what brings us together. And those are the moments that matter.
A lot of A-list partners, you've just rolled off your tongue there. So it's great to see that there's a lot of credibility that the program brings with it, apart from your own brands, NBC, Comcast, Universal. So let's talk about the startups now. So what kind of startups are you normally looking for? What stage, what sectors, what topics? Just give us an overview of that.
Absolutely. So one thing that we did learn is that we really have to work with companies that have a product that's out there, has a little bit of traction, because if we're going to test and pilot it, really get our hands around the technology to see what value could it bring to our organization, we're looking through that lens of, does it unlock new revenue? Does it help us with operational efficiencies or cost savings? So the product's got to be, can't be early idea stage. It's got to be out there so that we can test and pilot it. So as an example, this year we had about 1,500 companies apply to the program. So as you can imagine, getting down to 10 is a pretty rigorous process. And so we're constantly working with all of our sports partners to understand what are the innovation needs and the gaps and the priorities. We're able to observe a lot of what they're continuing to do with our companies in the portfolio outside of the traditional 6-month calendar window. And this time around, I would say, you know, across those 8 categories, media and entertainment is always critical. And you mentioned it at the beginning, you know, COVID handed us a situation where we had to figure out how to do remote production. Mm-hmm. And we didn't build it once, we built it to last. And that gives us more flexibility with the resources we have to cover more sports. So really important to the business. And a big reason why we stayed committed despite even, you know, sports going on pause during that tough chapter. But other categories like venue and event innovation are critical for us. We own Wells Fargo Center. We have the Flyers. Again, Comcast Business is in about 140 plus stadiums in the U.S. So those become technology playgrounds for us to really understand when you have that high a concentration of fans in a short period of time where everything has to hit on par, that it's got to be rock solid. And so whether it's venue and event innovation or athlete player performance or the business of sports, we're looking for things that are really going to unlock new revenue for us. And what we always say to the founders chosen in the program, they've been chosen by the sports partners. And it's because they have a problem worth solving that's relevant to as many of the partners in the consortium as possible. We have line of sight of how we're going to test and pilot that technology. But most important, it's the belief that that's the team to do it. And that's the team that we want to roll up our sleeves and work alongside and partner with them to understand, is this something we can license, integrate into the business, acquire? So that's really what keeps us motivated each day and keeps that innovation muscle going for the company and the culture as well.
And there are quite a few startups in your portfolio that we know quite well. Some of them have even hosted on this podcast before. So question, what do the startups get in return apart from all the great experience that you've already talked about? So they get a lot, but usually with accelerated programs, either there is a bit of funding that's involved early or there is a fund at the end of the program that they can look to. Is that part of the process for the startups as well?
Yes. So we do make a $50,000 investment in exchange for an equity position. I should say that that's a shared investment with Boomtown. So they're mm-hmm. our operating partner. And this is what they do. They build custom bespoke accelerator or innovation programs on behalf of companies like us. We constantly are challenging and setting the objectives and the goals of what we want to measure in terms of business success, and they create something very bespoke. So it is the best of team when it comes to going out and finding all of those startups and making sure that we are in the right places, doing the right first round interviews to really uncover is there or there there. And everything from the curriculum design. And you know, I'm proud to say that we've sort of broken the mold on a lot of things. We're a 6-month program because we're going after companies that are much further along, in some cases, Series A already or Canadian Public Exchange. So we've got to create space for them to run their business in the program itself. And at the same time, we are learning from them because they are pushing us to test and pilot things that are on the roadmap, but we really need to wedge in and prioritize based off of all those learnings.
I guess that's exactly why I was asking, because as you said in your previous answer as well, that these companies are more mature and that you want a product that is more or less ready for your partners to use potentially, or at least to pilot and build a use case together with. So then these companies are a bit farther along. They might have different capital requirements. So I guess the question is, does NBC also take equity positions at the end of the program? Apart from, let's say, that initial 50,000 that you put in, is there a post-accelerator cohort fund or something that's sitting there waiting for the good ones to get come out and pick them up?
It's a great question. And I would say our North Star is less about, and we help them prepare if they are going on to do a financial raise. We help them with their investment deck and polishing up their story, how to talk to investors, spending time with Comcast Ventures as a friendly corporate VC to give that real candid feedback. But our North Star is really about a commercial deal. We're going to test and pilot that technology. We're going to validate, can it unlock revenue? Can it give us operational efficiencies that frees up more resources to do more things? That's what really what we're looking for. And I always like to say, if it is something that is important enough to the business that we're willing to pay for it, that is revenue coming into their business. That is helping them build a sustainable business. It de-risks our initial investment. So it is a flywheel of effect. So we're really about business development at the end of the day.
Which is, I would argue, I would argue vehemently that that is more important for a startup than just an endless or a check with a bunch of zeros on it. If you could actually get them client ready and become a client yourselves, it's hardly a bigger endorsement that they could get. Jenna, can you talk to me about a success story or two, some flagship postdoc boys and girls that have come through the program?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you made a really great point, too, about when you're working with a company like us to get those deep customer discovery and learnings, that is truly allowing yourself to mold and adjust your product line in a way that is really going to have sustainable product market fit. And we give them all kinds of insights that allow them to kind of eliminate some of those assumptions that they may have had in the business that could have derailed their success. So a great example of a success story, and they've just recently re-signed, which is bookseats.com. And they were in an earlier cohort. They came through. It is a ability around ticketed events to be able to book your airfare and your hotel accommodations. And we took that notion of, can we replace a ticket with a tea time? So again, I mentioned we support 11,000 golf course companies and properties around the world. This is an opportunity to not only set your tee time, but to be able to easily and seamlessly in that whole experience flow to be able to book your hotel and your airfare accommodations. So it unlocks new revenue for us. They became the official travel partner for our Golf Now business, and they just recently re-signed. So that's a great example of a company that, again, this is unlocking new revenue. We had a dedicated sales team of about 7, or I guess it was like 4 to 6 employees that were selling very high-end custom packages around golf tournaments, but they were missing that everyday golfer and everyday traveler. So it unlocked a huge part of that lifestyle around golf that we hadn't been able to penetrate earlier. So I think that's a great example. Aircast is another fun one that just completed a pilot with the Sacramento Kings. So with our NBC California and Sacramento Kings, what they allow Aircast is you can take your mobile device, you're there in the stadium watching the Kings play, but you could miss a big moment. Or maybe you want a slightly different camera angle based off of where you're sitting, or you want to listen to the audio commentary in English or Spanish because it just makes it more immersive to understand the nuances of what you're watching. It gets you this ability to be kind of like a producer in your hand. And they were able to prove that they could handle 20 different feeds, seamlessly toggling between being able to have multiple camera angles on a single screen, all with near zero latency, because obviously you can't see, you know, the 3-point shot right. And then a moment later see it on your device. That's a very disorienting situation. But for them to be able to test and pilot that, it brings a little bit of the best of the living room experience into the stadium and vice versa.
That sounds like something I'd love to get my hands on. I mean, we've all been to a bunch of sports arenas where, and especially in the Premier League, even recently I was at a game. The typical thing is when VAR comes on and the whole stadium is like, what is going on? You have no clue. And and you can feel the frustration, like just coming through the crowd. And even if play restarts, like 30 seconds later, you've just lost 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people for like a good minute. That just can't be right. So stuff like this, it just has to get there and has to get there sooner. So it's great to see that these kind of use cases are actually not just seeing the light of day, but actually getting in the right hands, a proper test use case, which then can scale. And then they have the right partners to scale it with.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned, you've had previous guests on as well. If we look at this particular cohort, it was in three kind of unique areas. It was really unlocking data to really drive business value, unlocking health for top performance, unlocking interactivity for making it a very personalized experience. Zoomf, I know Amir has been on your program before, and just to borrow his words, I mean, it is attention is currency. It's exactly what you were saying. You lose that minute, and that content, it's all commerce. And that's why, again, sports is so important for us, for that live audience, the advertising revenue, all of the pieces, whether you're in the stadium and experiencing it in person or in your living room. And Stellar Algo is another great example of a company that can really identify and unify data that kind of sits in different silos. So we can really understand a person's journey of what and create unique and personalized call to action opportunities for them. And that's equally relevant whether that's somebody going to Wells Fargo Center to see our Flyers play or even our Universal theme parks. We've got to be thinking in a way of how do we really measure and understand fan behavior to unlock new business opportunities.
And that's such a valuable value prop that you offer to startups that, hey, you want to mess around with some stadium stuff, you want to do that. You want to mess around with some golf stuff, we can help you do that. You want to do some stuff in broadcasting. It's, let's say, a very easy program for startups to apply to. You mentioned Amir and Zoomf, but there are a bunch of others, whether it's David from Collect ID or Shannon from Fansaves. Like, there's a bunch in your portfolio that we've known for a while. And yeah, again, great to see that they're part of such a cool program. Jenna, question to you personally. Like, we talked about a lot of trends, whether it's around stadium or fan interaction, on stream, off stream, in venue, what is maybe one or two things that you are particularly excited about in terms of like forward-looking trends, maybe in sports or not necessarily only in sports?
I'm proud to say that in this particular cohort, we have two companies that are in that athlete player performance piece of things. And the reason I'm so excited is when you have 1,500 companies apply, to really get to the point where you can take technology that will help the product on the field or on the court be the best that it can be, or on the ice for the Flyers in our case, it's really hard to sometimes get to a company that can make it through the top 10. And it's for a couple of reasons. Typically, a U.S. ski and snowboard, they don't want to experiment on a Michaela Schifrin. So if you're really going to have scientifically backed efficacy of before and after and the impact, you usually need to leave have that technology for a duration of time and testing it on the same set of athletes. So even in the development pipeline, they didn't always know they were going to have the same athletes. But Chimera, science-backed, they have taken this infrared technology, which is already proven in terms of recovery, muscle soreness reduction, sleep aid, all of those things, and they've woven that infrared technology into the actual garments themselves. And so anytime you're wearing this, this is helping with performance enhancement, recovery, it's sleep aid. I sleep in it all the time. My husband always jokes around. He's like, they couldn't even buy sheets out of it. So it's truly technology that is helping recovery. And I think about it too, in terms of some of our employees that have very rigorous jobs as service technicians installing cable. That is also a very rigorous opportunity for us as a wellness benefit to give to our employees. So super excited about Chimera and the next rev of technology, which is really about taking that data off the athlete and similar to Plantiga, which is the second one in here. Mm-hmm. So they have a smart insole that can really understand, are you putting more load on the right or the left? So anything from like skating strokes to load on an athlete. The last thing that you want is to lose an athlete, because all of the coaching that has gone into designing that team to be the best, it can just completely, you know, dismantle what could have otherwise been a great season. And when the product's not there, the people aren't coming in, the fans don't have what they love. So these are two companies that not only are helping us from an athlete, player, and recovery standpoint, but we're starting to get some interesting data from that too. And I'm excited to see, how does that change the storytelling? How does that help you really understand the rigors of what that athlete is doing each and every time they step on the line?
You talk about Plantiga and smart insoles for runners. I'm sure you've tried it. I've tried other smart insoles. There's so much. And if you're a data nerd, it may be some of us and probably our listeners are, then that's the kind of stuff that you can really enjoy getting lost in. And then you realize, okay, that's too much, but this is the valuable, important stuff that I can take and then build genuinely valuable insights off and then try to improve myself at my sport of choice, which is at the end of the day what you want. Really interesting that you actually talked about the athlete, because again, the first perception would have been, you know, fan, broadcasting, stadium, as you said, but interesting to see you guys going in that direction as well. Very, very cool. Speaking about directions that you're going in, Jenna, what did the next 12, 18 months look like? Like, what is the next cohort? I think the last cohort was not announced too long ago, right? Not even a couple of months. So you're in the middle of a cohort. So what does the next 12, 18 months look like? Is it just another cohort? Is there something else happening?
Yeah, no, all great questions. I'll give you a little sense of the 6 months because there's a lot of sort of parallel things that happen with all of our sports partners in there. But yes, so we kicked off at the beginning of March in Orlando for a week. So all of our 10 companies were able to spend an entire week with us. And they got everything from an opportunity to hear from business leaders that run our universal theme parks and the technology decisions that go into creating those amazing ride experiences where they have to place technology bets 3 years before a guest ever steps on that ride, to being able to see every shot live and hear directly from the leadership at PGA Tour. How do they run the business? How do they think about all the stakeholders involved? Same thing for NASCAR, to be able to get a tour of the Daytona track and really understand, why is it that they are going after gaming in a slightly different way than some of our other partners in the consortium? So it's been a great opportunity to hear from leaders across NBC Sports, our Peacock business as well, for those really deep customer discoveries, while at the same time seeing technology, like how they capture every shot live firsthand, shows them the rigors of what their technology needs to be. And so for the next 3 months, we're really working towards our MID program, which is the Sports Tech Combine. And that's where each of the companies has already been assigned a commercial advisor from at least least one or two of the partners in the consortium. And that's really because they are the ones that raise their hand and say, I know exactly how I'm going to test this. Mm-hmm. And so they'll spend this 3 months to that midway point in the program. And at that point, it's standing up and saying, hey, a reminder again, we're Mobi, this is what we do. We've been testing with our sports partner here. These are the things that we're testing and validating on latency. And then they can have their sports partner stand up and say, these are the business outcomes we're looking for. If we achieve X, Y, Z, our next steps are this. And there's just something about the partner advocating on the behalf of their company that it unlocks all these other opportunities. And it becomes this very facilitated program where they spend time with each of the partners and really uncover, hey, we have a similar use case, but with this minor nuance. How would you address this? And so we walk out of that with usually 6 to 8 times more pilots and proof of concept than we even mapped out in the beginning. So it goes from the one-to-one to the one-to-many within the partner consortium. And then what we've referred to as the one-to-the-world, which is really the capstone event. This year, it'll be at the Rally Innovation Conference in Indianapolis. And that's an opportunity for them to get business development opportunities and meet attendees there, because again, you can't build your company off the 11 sports organizations and build a sustainable business. You've got to have that longer range plan. And then we continually work with all of the companies within our portfolio, because there's different times that the technology unlocks and the time, the opportunity, the need is there. Movers is a great example of that. They do skeletal tracking. We've recently completed a pilot with them across 6 different sports for Olympics to be able to really take actual content and create a 3D biomechanically accurate replication of that athlete, be able to look at it from all these different angles. And that's all done through skeletal tracking. So we're not asking an athlete to wear anything that would sort of, impede their natural body movement. But talk about just the difference in how you can tell storytelling to be able to show two gymnasts next to one another, because she's taller, her hip rotation has to be X times faster, or her body weight is 11 times her own body weight, or the height she has to get to complete a run. So it's technology like that that is going to help us up-level how we tell the amazing sports moments across all the different sports that we have rights and sponsorship investments in.
So solid milestones for all of your startups to look forward to at different points in time, culminating in, as you said, there'll be a demo day or a business development day that they will lead up to. And then there's a new cohort around the corner as well.
And we're constantly even mixed in there, because there's a little bit of overlap. We're having separate innovation discovery sessions with all the partners. We kind of observe where they're leaning in, where they're investing their time and resources. But again, it's got to be like, okay, what's the next thing on the horizon that's 3 years out that we can find for you? And skeletal tracking was one that was a huge priority for Sky Sports. So that's just one example of that. And then that really helps us whittle it down to the top 50. And that's when the sports partners start to review those companies, get to the top 25, interview them, all of that. But you saw last year, we were able to bring in Premier League. We're constantly looking at our portfolio of media rights and asking ourselves, well, who are the other innovative sports organizations that would play well in the sandbox together? And so we're constantly evaluating our partner strategy and looking at where will that kind of grow in advance. So that's always an exciting spot for us. So, but in general, I would say just more and more refinement to make sure that we're listening to what the founders are experiencing, where they need to lean in a little bit more, and creating just-in-time, learnings and curriculum into the program that allows us to meet them where they are so that we can really get them to the next stage.
Makes sense. And also sounds like you're teeing up maybe another big partner announcement, another big logo that you can add over
the course. There might be another one.
I felt like that's where Jenna was taking us to. But thank you, Jenna, for that time to walk us through what has been, well, let's put it this way, for a company that's been tracking the space for a long time, in terms of sports tech accelerators, there are quite a few that have also disappeared off the radar for whatever reason. So it's important that the ecosystem gets the right players to come in and provide the right kind of support. And today, I don't think I'd be reaching too much to say that, yeah, the Comcast Accelerator, just looking at your portfolio of companies that have passed through and are currently in there as well, is leading, is certainly one of the leading sports tech programs out there today. So kudos to you, kudos to your team for putting this whole thing together, and look forward to more, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you. It's a portfolio of 40, and it's always hard to pick which ones we want to talk about because, you know, you have the incredible success stories of Kelly Proct and Venue and what they've gone on to do with a commercial deal for in-sports betting for NASCAR and NBA and everything that they've done for Apple and their Friday night game. So a slew of really smart, talented founders that kind of they keep my brain pink and wrinkly, thinking about all the ways that we can up-level and make that sports experience that much more engaging, that much more immersive, that much more of a value on top of the investments we've made.
You got to spread the love, Jenna, as I'd imagine you're doing. Just mention a few on this show and a few on that show and just make sure that they all get mentioned here and there, and then everybody's happy.
Exactly.
Thanks, Jenna. Thanks so much for taking the time. Before I let you go, I have one last question, which is usually my favorite question to ask. My listeners would know, which is to know what has been your favorite sporting moment. I like to think about all sports fans first. So I'm curious to know yours.
Yeah. So it's going to be a little bit of a repeat since I've been on your show before, but gotta love the, you know, Michael Johnson winning the gold in the gold shoes. That's just an incredible moment for me personally, just seeing our daughter. We were at the FIFA World Cup. We were able to see Team USA win, and just I still have that visual of her, like with the little thumb things. And I think she was like 2.5, 3 at the time. And we had spent a little time in Vancouver beforehand, and she heard a couple of people rowdy, kind of like cheering on USA. And as we were walking into the stadium out of nowhere, this little, you know, 3-year-old starts chanting USA and had everyone around her, regardless of what country they were from, chanting the same thing. Cause it was just like, it's just a reminder of how sports brings us together.
Yeah. And that's such a powerful thing and a lovely reminder, a note to end the show on. Thanks once again for taking the time, Jenna.
Yes. Thank you. Such a pleasure to be with you again.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jenna. Thank you to the listeners. Sorry, excuse me for my quickly failing voice and my, if you're watching this, my increasingly receding eyes. I think the lighting has not been in my favor this evening. But no, as always, it's always great to talk to people who are doing great work in the sports tech ecosystem. We're happy to shine the spotlight on programs such as the NBC Comcast Universal program. And there'll be many more to come over the rest of this month. So stay tuned. Cheers, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.